Well, I don't know about you, but if you've been in church at any length of time, sometimes you can hear a lot of sermons and a lot of things, but if you're like me, you have to be reminded of the basics. Oftentimes, when I get really stressed, oftentimes I think, have I overcomplicated something? Have I made something so overcomplicated? And I go back to simplify. And so this morning, nothing that I'm going to say to you is something that you probably not have heard 5, 6, 7, 100 times. But you need to be reminded of the basics. I'm a baseball fan. I debate sometimes how much energy I'm going to put into our Cleveland Indians because I was back on the bandwagon with this big trade that they had on Friday night, and I was so excited, and then they blew it. They finally scored runs, and then the pitching did, and I said to myself, that's it. I'm not going to listen to them again. I'm not going to have an app on my phone. I'm not going to do that. But last night, let's see what the score is, you know. And on my phone, it rings when the final score, you know, kind of does this little dinger thing, and it dings a little bit, and it tells me who won the game. But one of the things that baseball players are noted for is spring training, and at spring training, they do nothing but the basics. It's as if they've kind of forgotten how to catch a ball and throw it to the right base, or to bunt and sacrifice and do all the things that they know that they know that they know that they know, but they're reminded of again. In fact, there's even coaches in baseball that are just there to teach them the basics so that they don't forget. So this morning I want to remind you of some basics. Basic number one really is this. The Bible is not just a book. The Bible is God's Word. The Bible is alive and active. The Bible is sharp, it says in Hebrews 4:12, sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces us. It, as we read it, it reads us. And I'm afraid that today, in our day today, that if we're not careful, we as believers may read more books about the Bible than actually the Bible itself. How many of us have over a course of a year read the Bible from cover to cover? I make the covenant to at least read it once or twice a year from cover to cover to be able to read it in completeness. And so the Bible as God's Word. But oftentimes you may say, well, I read this book about the Bible or that book about the Bible. But what about reading the Bible and being challenged to read the Bible yourself? And we'll talk a little bit about that later in the message. But the second basic, and this is where I really want to camp on the majority of the message, is this. It's about Jesus. If you boil everything down to simplicity, if you take away all of the extras, apart from Jesus, we have nothing. John 14:6 says what? When you think Jesus probably was going, wow, I'm getting ready to die, and I'm getting ready to go on a cross. And so I've trained my people well, and he gives this big thing about where he's going, and Thomas raises his hand and says, clue us in again, where are you going? And Jesus had to roll his eyes and go, ah, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Our world today wants to add so many extra things in there, but Jesus is the only way. The only truth, the only life. A lot of times, some folks, you know, may say, well, that's good, but I can't have faith. I don't know, you know, maybe that some people can have it, but some people can trust in some things, but I don't. But you can put faith in certain things. It's an impossible statement for you to say, I don't ever put blind trust into anything. I came back from, took my mom back to South Carolina, came back, and we had this little contraption called a GPS. Maybe you've heard of it. I give mine a name. I call mine Linda. And so, a lot of times I override Linda when I think I know what's best, and then I get lost or whatever. But anyway, I know that I've lost it a little bit when I start arguing with Linda, going, "No, stop it!" You know, I know where I'm going. But if you think about it, how much blind trust do we put into a GPS? There was a point on Saturday Thursday night. My daughter was with me, and we were going to go on a daddy date. I said, "Where do you want to go?" "Outback." I'm like, "Okay." And I typed it into the GPS. I had no clue where I was. And I'm driving these streets. I'm taking a right when Linda says right, taking a left when Linda says left. And I get there. But if you'd ask me, could I have gotten there on my own? No. I had to trust. Right, left, right, left. We put faith in a lot of things. This morning, if you happened to come to church and you had to go through a traffic light, you really put trust that people would stop at red and go at yellow, and just kind of decide in green and decide which way they're going to do it yellow. And so we put our faith in many different things. And so it's a wrong statement to say I can't put my faith in. I'm just not a person that can trust like that. Yeah, you can. You just need to make sure that you place it in Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 15. It's a common passage. And if you have the Bibles on the table, it's page 771, I believe. It's talking about the vine and the branches. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Western society, America, doesn't really like this chapter because basically we like to say, we can do it ourselves. You give us the challenge, we can do it. But John 15 is saying, no, no, no. You need Jesus. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will even be more fruitful. Sometimes some of us may be in the middle of a pruning process right now. We're going, this hurts. Have I done something wrong? If it's not because of some sin, it could be that God's answering your prayer when you go, I want to be like you, Jesus. And pruning happens. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. We balk at that. We may say it with our minds, but if we really believe that, we would not linger very far from what God has for us to do. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Kind of repeats itself. Kind of like I have a little bit of a ADD, and maybe John was saying, okay, if you're ADD a little bit, I'm going to repeat it again. If I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. In Hampton Court near London, there's a grapevine which is about 1,000 years old. This grapevine has one root which is at least 2 feet thick. And some of the branches are 200 feet long. And despite its age, the vine produces several tons of grapes each year. Although some of the smaller branches are 200 feet from the main stem, they still bear the sweet and delicious fruit. Why? Because they're connected to the vine. Life flows from that single root. And throughout the vine, bring throughout the vine, bring nourishment and strength to each of the branches. In the same way, the analogy of the vine is used to describe our utter dependence upon Him. If we look at John chapter 15, there's a couple things that we need to kind of rely on or base some things on. First, some truths that we can gain from it. First, we need Jesus. We need Jesus, and we must first depend on Him for our salvation. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. There's only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus. We live in a day that says there are many ways, and ultimately, some would say, don't all religions lead to the same place, just take different paths. We live in a day where diversity and tolerance are viewed as moral values. And yet, if we're true to the Word of God, what does He say? Does He say, I am a way? What does He say? I am what?
The way.
The way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. And yet, sometimes we want to accommodate a lot of people and we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to be viewed as closed-minded. We don't want to be viewed as somebody that's foolish or naive. And we say, okay, maybe, you know. But if we're going to be true to the Word of God, there's no other name but Jesus. So if you're here this morning and you're depending on good works, You may have been coming to this church for a long time and you get up early and you set things up and you move the table and you make sure the fan and you make sure everything and you do it and you haven't missed a day. That's not going to get you to heaven. Maybe you're in church leadership and you've been voted on and all this stuff and you're a teacher and you think, well, surely that will work. No. Maybe you've got gobs and gobs of money and you give to charities and you help out people and you're a good person. If you see someone on the side of the road, even if it's raining or snowing, one of those snow belt kind of snows, you stop and you help. And you think, surely that will work. But there's only one way. And that's Jesus. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm good at faking it. You ever, even sometimes I'll find myself preaching on peace and joy and not be peaceful inside and going, wow, this is not good. And maybe sometimes in our lives, we're bottled up inside and things aren't going the way that we want it to be. And someone says, how are you doing? Oh, great. And we're faking it. Maybe sometimes we're good at faking that people really actually think that we're saved, that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that we have trusted Him. But you can never fake it with God. He knows everything. And so if you're banking on anything for your salvation other than Jesus, you're missing the basic of basic points. The youth in a youth group, at many times there was a drama, and it was an interesting drama. It was called "Forever is a Long Time," and the extent of the drama was that you had two people, and they had chairs here to kind of look like they were driving in a car or riding in a car, and there was an accident. And the lights go out and one goes over here and one student goes over there. And one student, when the lights come back on, realizes that that person is in hell and the other person is in heaven. And the main gist of it is, if you knew what you knew, why didn't you tell me? The other student says, but why didn't you ask? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you ask? And ultimately, each of the scenes ends with the same line, forever is a long time. as if you're banking on anything other than Jesus, you are risking more than you ever would ever want to risk, because forever is a long time. I love to get presents. In fact, Christmas time, I'm better at it now, but I used to try to shake them and jiggle them and even try to put a little tiny hole in so I can peek in and see what it is. And I could never imagine there being a whole bunch of presents with my name on it that I didn't want to open. And yet many have incredible gifts that God wants to give them. And it has their name on it. It has that to so-and-so, from so-and-so. And all they've got to do is open it. But it's their choice. So the first, when we talk about the basic of Jesus, we got to realize that salvation, the basic of basics. I don't know whether our society looks like now that everybody is afraid to, they want to make sure they're insured, but some of the best commercials on TV is insurance commercials. You know, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. The Geico commercials, every one of these type commercials. And why do we bank on them? We bank on them when something happens, we're covered. Guys, if you're banking in any other place than Jesus, you're not covered. Trust in Him. Second, we not only depend on Jesus for our salvation, we depend on Him for our personal growth and discipline. If you're saved, if you're in the vine, you got to expect some discipline sometimes. You got to expect to be pruned. You must depend on the voice of the Holy Spirit to direct and sometimes redirect your path. This dependence needs to lead to action where confession of personal sin and active repentance is clearly evident. James 1:2 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face many kinds of trials, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature, not lacking anything. John 15 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes so it may bear even more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you." When I was a teenager, my dad did something in my mom's eyes that was horrendous. Now, I don't know if they're up here, but I'm from South Carolina, and they have what's called azaleas. Now, most of the time, azaleas look wild and crazy, and there's not much to them. But when they bloom, they're beautiful. Well, my dad decided, when my mom wasn't there, he cut them all to the quick. I mean, it was like the ugliest group of bushes you'd ever seen. And when mom got home, she was not happy at all because dad had ruined these azaleas. But even mom, later on, when those azaleas grew out and were more beautiful than before, she had to realize that it helped them, not hurt them. Guys, a lot of times, there are times in our lives when we pray to God and we ask Him for things and God begins to answer them, and then we take a step back and say, "That's not what I wanted. That's not the direction. Could you answer my prayer in a different way?" Oftentimes we say, "Lord, show me someone to share Christ with. Show me how to be a better mom or a dad." And all of a sudden, it seems like all the parent woes and trials just open up. And you go, "Wait a minute. That's not what I wanted." Ultimately, if you think about it, we say we want to be like Jesus. But ultimately, this is the caveat. I want to be like Jesus if it doesn't hurt. Because if it does hurt, is there some other way? Is there a plan B? And Jesus prayed that in Gethsemane. If there's some other way. But there was no other way but the cross. In our lives, if we're really going to remain and abide in Him, He is going to tell us things that we need to do. There's been times in my life where I'm in my quiet time. And I've got everything perfect and it's quiet. And I just sort of had an argument with my wife. I know this never happens to you guys. And all of a sudden, in my quiet time, I'm sitting in my nice chair. I got my Bible and everything there, ready to hear from God. And God says, get up and go apologize to your wife. I'm like, well, can that wait? No. You see, when we listen to God, He will direct our paths. He will guide our steps. If we truly abide in the vine, then He is going to lead us. There's going to be times when we don't want to go in the path He directs. But we got to trust. I don't like to be disciplined. I don't like to be pruned. In fact, please sit down. I tell you what, Caleb, see Miss Gretchen back there? You have earned a trip way back in that. Go sit with them. One. Okay. All right. Hey, what a good point in my sermon. With my own children, we're quick to correct and to discipline. Often we get mad and we wonder why we do what we do. But guess what? Our children are under our care and discipline. Child comes up to you and says, Dad, I want to eat all the candy I can possibly eat. Dad, I want to run across the street when there's four lanes of traffic. Dad, I want to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning. Dad, I don't want to go to potty ever. You know, we know what happens with that. But in the same way, parents discipline children, we need to be, as adult believers, that dependent on Jesus. When He says, do something, we don't say, well, I'll put it in my to-do list, maybe. We obey and we listen. D.L. Moody says, I believe firmly that the moment our hearts have emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that's contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. But if we're full of pride and conceit and ambition and the world, there's no room for the Spirit of God. We must be emptied before we can be filled. Often our lives are lived without any influence or power because we've allowed unconfessed sin and our self-centered ways to quench and grieve the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need to ask the Lord, is there something I need to confess? Is there something I need to be made right in? And then just don't just hang up before God answers you. Listen. Perhaps you've heard the story. Max Lucado tells it about a little boy and his sister and grandmother. And the grandmother had this pet duck. And this duck was just, I mean, it could do all kinds of things at command. And if it ever walked into a store, you know what it would say? It would just put it on my bill. That's for free. But, and that really bombed. But one day, Billy was playing with his sister. And he had this slingshot, and Billy must have been a lot like me because I'm not really mechanical. And I'm glad I married somebody that is. And so when I would take the slingshot, it would go backward and hit me. But Billy took the slingshot, and this time it went forward, and it hit the duck in the head and killed the duck. Sally, his sister, was watching. Boy didn't know what to do. Sally says, hey, Billy, I'll keep you secret. Just keep it to yourself. So they get into the kitchen and it's not Billy's turn to wash the dishes. Sally tells grandmother, Billy will do the dishes. And she whispers into his ear, remember the duck. Remember the duck. Now, whether by duty or by the duck, Billy washed more dishes that week than he'd ever done in his life, and always hearing that refrain, remember the duck, remember the duck. And finally, he gets so frustrated, he gets so irritated, goes to his grandmother, and he says, I need to tell you something. I was playing with my slingshot and I killed your duck. Grandmother says, I know, I was watching. I just wanted to see how long Sally would make a slave out of you. Guys, in our own lives, Satan wants to make a slave out of us by saying, you can never confess that. You can never be real. You can never be clean. Keep it quiet. And God, through the Holy Spirit, is saying to you, confess it. Confess it. Confess it. And experience more power and joy than you'll ever experience in your life. And many of you, each time a devotion time or an invitation time comes, you're reminded of your duck. You're reminded of something in your life that you need to confess. And once you confess it, it is far removed as the east is from the west. So what is the Holy Spirit doing in your life? What areas is He pruning? What areas is He disciplining you? You may say, well, we want our church to be the best church in all the world. But you know what it does? It begins with you. It begins with me. If you're not obeying and in right relationship with the Lord, then you're missing it. So first, we need Jesus for salvation. Second, we need Him for discipline and pruning and guidance. Third, we depend on Jesus by trusting and obeying the Word of God. John 15:9 says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you'll remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. I've told you this that your joy may be complete. When faced with life decisions, problems, this is the answer book. This is the manual. It's not just a book that you pull out for Bible study class or pull out for church. Maybe dust it off a little bit. It's an everyday book that will solve every issue, every problem that you'll ever have. But do we believe it? Because if we believed it, it would be closer to us than we ever would know. A preacher stood on the street corner preaching to anyone who'd listen. And a man approached him who looked like he'd lived on the street forever. Can I help you? Asked the preacher. I think you can, said the man in the street. So the man got real excited, as, you know, missionaries do. Well, would you like me to tell you about Jesus? Nope. Would you like for me to pray for you? Nope. The missionary kind of scratched his head. Well, then what do you want me to do for you? I'd like your Bible. The missionary says, well, wait a minute. Why do you want my Bible? He says, well, I was noticing it and the pages are thin. And I started thinking that would make for some great cigarettes to roll up. The missionary had to think fast on his feet. He said, okay, I'll give you this Bible and I'll let you roll your cigarettes or your joints or whatever you do with it. But you got to make me this promise. That you will read each page of it before you roll it into your cigarette. The man agreed. A couple months passed. He sees this man and he's dressed in nicer clothes. And he says to the missionary, do you know who I am? And the missionary says, well, no. He says, I am the man that you gave the Bible to so I could smoke it. And the man says, well, what happened? And the man said, well, let me tell you. He said, I smoked through Matthew. I smoked through Mark. I smoked through Luke. But John smoked me. Guys, the Bible is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the hearts. As we read the Bible, it reads us. And if we reduce something to man's ideas and man's strategies, but we forget the book, we've lost it. because this book is alive. And I'm glad it's alive in the sense that we don't have to feed it, because mine wouldn't be kept alive because we're not pet people, because I'll forget to feed the thing. But this book is alive and active. It will read you as you read it, but it will not read you if you never open it. I wonder how many of you this year, how much of this book have you read? Or how many tweets have you read about the book? Or how many comments or books about books about books, and this is the book? Ann Graham Lotz, daughter of Billy Graham, she used to hold an evangelistic conference entitled Just Give Me Jesus. As a result, she penned this song. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise, just give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, just give me Jesus. When I am alone, when I am alone. When I am alone, just give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, just give me Jesus. When I come to die, when I come to die, when I come to die, just give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, just give me Jesus. And the song echoes to the end. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, just give me Jesus. Guys, in America today, there's only, I was reading, and there's four areas in the world where Christianity isn't exploding off the seams. Australia, Western Europe, a third place that I don't know, and North America. I wonder, in many cases, have we got to the point where we think we know so much that we basically say to Jesus, we're good, we're good. We'll let you know when we need you. And not realizing that He is the way, the truth, the life. Life itself is defined by Jesus. And so this morning, I want to give you an opportunity just to reflect. Our busy world, you don't have an opportunity sometimes to reflect, especially if you're going and coming in two different places, and this may be your only quiet moment of the week. What am I asking you? Do you know that you know that you know that when you die, you're going to go to heaven? If I was to ask you the question, if you were to come in front of God and God says, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? If there's any other answer but Jesus, 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 and trusting in Jesus and opening His gift that He gives to you, then you're going to be sad on that day. Because nothing else will get you to heaven. Maybe you're here today and life is turning some different turns. This past last 4 months, my wife's father died. My father had a massive stroke, who's now in a nursing home. My mom's had a lot of different challenges. We've been back and forth to South Carolina. And I have to say, okay, Lord, show me how to walk in this path with joy. Maybe many of you, maybe some of you here are in a place where you've got more questions than you have perceived answers. And there's things that are just hard. And you need just to say, Lord, I need You. You are my answer. you are my way. Maybe you're here, and if you're real to yourself, you don't read the Bible. You do a Bible study, you read a verse or two, but you really don't read it as if it's the manual to all of life's answers. In fact, some of us read more impulse buys at a supermarket where you pick up and they have these big headlines, you know, how to lose 100 inches off your waist or something, than we do the one who has the answer, the Word of God. And so maybe you need to say, you know what, I need to be in the book. I need to read it. This past year, I've mixed it up a little bit. I get kind of bored reading it the same because after 4 of our years starting with Genesis and ending with Revelations, it can get kind of old a little bit. So I've mixed it up at different times. 1 year, I read the Bible backwards. You know, that was kind of weird. And this year, I've done it through a chronological Bible that's been really cool. And so it mixes it up. So you read Genesis and you read Job and you're like, oh, it's a little mixed up. But it gives you a perspective. I've made a commitment to read the Gospels every month this year so that I just don't talk about it, but I'm actually there. And maybe this morning you need to be in the Word. Maybe there was something that was said that the Holy Spirit just went whack right on you. And there's something that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you about. And you didn't hear much of the message because you had your own private sermon. Maybe there's somebody in here that needs someone to say, you know what, I'm sorry. Maybe there's a sin that needs to be confessed. In whatever way, if you really want to live the life, then get radical and just say, just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. I wonder if I might could ask the praise team just to come and I just want you to have a chance. I'll be standing up here, but really it's not about me. It's about whatever God's telling you to do. And what is God leading you? I'm not going to ask you to stand, but I'm just going to ask you to reflect. What is the action point that God is telling you from today's message? Not because I spoke it, because you'll forget me, but what the Word of God spoke as you read it. And so let's pray together. Father, I ask that you would move in the ways that you desire to move. Father, there's many different things that are going on in a room this size. Holy Spirit, I know that there's probably at least one person right now that's unsure of their salvation. That needs to say, Lord, I want to be sure. I want to have that present opened. Maybe there's somebody here who's going through such a hard time that she or he needs to tell the church family, pray for me. In whatever way, oh Lord, I pray you'd give the courage to seal what needs to be sealed. In Jesus' name.